Welcome to A Conversation with Chief, where together we visit with special friends from across Native North America who will encourage, inspire, and equip us in our walk with Jesus Christ. Join us now for an engaging conversation with Chief.
We want to welcome you again to A Conversation with Chief. And in this session, we want to be able to really explain the ministry of Chief, the people involved in Chief, and what currently is happening within Chief. So we just welcome you to this time of the ministry of Chief. How Chief started is quite a story, because really I am the second generation that is leading the ministry of Chief. It all began with my father, Tom Claus. And again, that's a story in itself. If I had the chance just to sit down and probably spend the rest of the evening telling you about this story. But it was back in the 40s that God did a movement among the church in America. And there was an organization that was established called Youth for Christ. The director of that ministry, his name was Torrey Johnson. And one thing about that man, he was a pastor, but he was also had a heart for discipleship, because what he did was he reached out to young men that would share the gospel through evangelism. And he worked with men that we would consider giants today in Christian ministry. One of those young men that joined a part of the Youth for Christ team was a young man by the name of Bill, or Billy. And we know him as Dr. Billy Grilly. But it was something, because my dad got involved with Youth for Christ International in those early days. And it was the Claus Indian family that would go and travel around in different crusades and share the gospel through song and their native regalia. And it was quite a privilege for Dad, because he was, at that time, he was just a teenager. He had met Dr. Billy Graham when he was a teenager. And as Billy's ministry grew, whenever Billy would be in a native community, he would contact my father. He would call my dad, Tom, and say, "Tom, we're going to be in the Southwest, and we want to reach out to the native community. So would you contact pastors and tribal leaders and educators and invite them to the crusade that we're having?" So it was quite an experience as a young boy to meet Dr. Graham and his team, see how he ministered. Well, Dr. Graham would invite my dad to several congresses. I know in 1965, it was in Berlin, Germany, that was the very first world congress in evangelism. It was in 2000 that we went to Amsterdam. We took over 36 native pastors to really, again, be challenged to world evangelism. And then it was in 1973 that Dr. Graham had a crusade in Phoenix, Arizona, my hometown. And I'll never forget, there, Dad honored him with a native headdress. On it, it was beaded Billy. And even if you were to go to the Billy Graham Library today, you will still see that headdress and award that was given. The native name was given to Dr. Graham at that time. It was in 1974 in Lausanne, Switzerland, that Dr. Graham had another World Congress. There were over 11,000 leaders that came to that gathering. My dad was in his later 40s. I was just a teenager, and I'll never forget when he came back from that experience. He says, "Huron, I've never seen so many men of God from all over the globe come, and their number one passion was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, tribe, and tongue." It was incredible. But he said, too, that God really spoke to his heart, Dad's heart. And he was really touched, because he was moved at that gathering. But at the same time, he was challenged, because he said to me, "You know, son, We have had the gospel for hundreds of years within our nation. And there is a church practically at every corner that is ministering the gospel. But where is our native Christian leaders? What is the spiritual health of our native Christian church after all these years? Well, Dr. Graham had a crusade in Albuquerque in 1975 in March. And there he had a conversation with my father, Tom. And he says, Tom, he says, let's invite leaders. Let's invite at least 100 leaders that would be pastors and tribal chairmen and individuals that sit in tribal government positions. Let's invite educators. Let's invite professional people. And let's look at the state of the Native church. And so that gathering took place. There were a number of presentations from different speakers. And it was there that Chief was birthed in 1975. Those leaders, those 100 leaders, came to three conclusions. Number one, that we needed Native individuals who would not be ashamed of the gospel and sharing Christ to their tribes, to their nations, to their families, to their communities, to tribal groups just like them, wherever that may be. The second one was that even though we had the gospel for hundreds of years, we lacked in discipleship. And yet that was Christ's greatest command, was to go and to make disciples. So we need to really work towards that area of developing disciples, discipleship among our native communities, mentorship, establishing Christian leadership among our communities. And then the third area is what we call the ministry of helps, and saying that if truly we are followers of Christ, truly, if we will share the gospel and we will grow in our relationship with Christ, then we're going to impact our communities with the love of Jesus Christ. And so that's what the three emphasis of Chief is: evangelism, discipleship, and helps. So it started in 1975. It's gone on for 47 years. And we're excited to see what God's doing. I am the second generation in leadership, in leading the ministry of Chief. And we are excited because the doors of opportunity are opening. Since we've had the COVID, we have had requests from Navajo nations and other nations for help. We've heard from pastors, needs and training, discipleship. So, the opportunities are just incredible. But I wanted to familiarize you with Chief. I also want to introduce you to different individuals that have been a part of Chief. And one of those have been a dear friend for decades. He has served on our board. He has his family. We have grown up together. We've seen our kids grow. We have seen our grandkids grow. And what a joy it is to be able to serve, to build the kingdom of God among our native people. Ron, if you would share with us how Chief has impacted you.
Well, thank you so much, Huron, and it is a joy to be serving with you for, it has been some decades here. So your chronological update there brought us up to 1975. So I can jump in at 1976 because I was dating a young lady at a church that we both attended, and her father was the chairman of the board at that time, and it was 1976, which was the 200th anniversary of the United States. And what my father-in-law, who eventually, obviously, I let out the secret there, I eventually married that young lady, but soon to be my father-in-law, he was looking for a keynote speaker for our missions conference that we're going to be held at the church. And he thought, what better thing on the 200th anniversary of the United States to have a true Native American to come and speak at our conference? And so he found Chief Ministries, and specifically Tom, and Tom agreed and came to our church. And it was a wonderful week bringing our missionaries from all over the world, but having Tom be the keynote speaker at that conference. And it was just a few short years after that, as I mentioned earlier, that I got married, and my father-in-law at that point joined the Chief board. And so I kind of grew up knowing Chief from virtually the year after it was formed, 1976. And so got to hear a lot about it. And Huron, as you recall, you and Lois were at the birthday party of our oldest son, his first birthday party. And so we go back to a number of years of knowing one another. But it was just wonderful because as my father-in-law was on the board, we'd always hear updates when your father, Tom, and Alfredo would come in town. They would usually stay at our place. And it was such a joy to get to know your family. And at times, you and I always got a chance to meet each other, depending on if you came to our church during the time when Tom and Alfredo were there. But I stayed very close to learning about Chief and hearing from my father-in-law. And eventually, my father-in-law, after many years of serving, decided it was time to fully retire. And so he went off to help with some other ministries when it wasn't able for him to travel and those types of things. And then your father and you were gracious enough to come to me about 10 or 12 years ago and asked if I would consider to come on the board of Chief Ministries. And it was a great pleasure to come on board and to serve alongside some of the men that I had heard of, and in some cases, the sons of some of the men that I had heard of as well. And it was a great joy to serve for about 10 years on the board. And then my job situation changed, and I had an opportunity to change careers. And I thought, you know, I'd given a lot to the business world, and maybe I could do some ministry work. And so I came and approached you with the idea of possibly coming on board in the area of business development to help with a lot of different things. If you check out our website at chief.org, you'll see it looks a little new. We just introduced it within this last 6 months, updating it and bringing it up to date. And then also to work in the area of growing our prayer ministry, and then as well as increasing some donor development work. And it's been great because you encouraged me along those lines. And so I went to the board and made a proposal. So to make sure that we have no conflict of interest, I resigned from the board so that I could do this work on its own. And so it's just been a great privilege for the last couple of years to be involved in that. And it's just been just a greater joy to work more closely with you. And I still don't know how you and Lois do all the things that you do. Because it's an amazing to look at your calendar. And I was like, well, Huron, I don't think you could do six things in one day since they seem to overlap, but somehow you and Lois to do that. And it's just a blessing to be a part of that and to help out any way I can. Got to give a little plug since I'm in the area of donor development that first and foremost, I want to encourage everyone to give to their local church. Your local church is the one that will support you in your times of need, and they're there for you every week. But if the Lord blesses you in some other way, I just ask that you would consider Chief as a place to send some of those donations, some of those offerings that you would give. The tithes should go right into the storehouse of the church, and those offerings, we would love to be a part of that. And there's many different ways to give to Chief. I would encourage you to check out the website. There's a secure way on the website to actually give. And then also we'll take things by snail mail. So if you still like writing checks, we'd glad to take those as well. But again, support your local church. That's the one we want you to support. And then as the God blessed you to come our way, I just want to let you know, obviously, Chief is a 501c3. And each year we receive an audit from the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We're so proud of the fact that that has been done every year. And we have a few awards up there about our financial counsel from them. And we're just so thankful for that because it's important for us to be making sure that we're doing everything to use the funds that are donated to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to also read one verse from Ephesians 2:7. Let me just get it, or excuse me, 2:10. Let me just get it up here real quickly. And I just want to say, this is kind of my verse as I started to work with Chief, and it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And it's just a great privilege to work for Chief because I truly believe these are the good works that God had planned in advance for myself and my wife, Heidi, to walk in, and just thankful for that. So as I sign off, I'm signing off to introduce to you Isaac Durham, the newest member of Chief, worked with us as an intern. I don't want to steal any of his thunder. I just want to tell you that I've gotten a chance to meet him over the last few days personally, although I'd met him online before. And I'm just so excited for Isaac and for what he can bring to Chief. I'm learning things for him as well, and I'm so thankful for that. So I'm going to mute my mic so all you can hear is his words. And I'm just so thankful, Isaac, for you coming on board here at Chief.
Thank you, Ron. Excellent job. Appreciate everything that you're doing for the ministry of Chief. Again, my name is Isaac. I'm a member of the Hopi tribe from Second Mesa, Arizona. I've been involved in Christian ministry for the past 8 years here in the Valley, but it wasn't until recently that I came on board at Chief, and I've been here for 3 months. I'm excited about the work they're doing. I've always had a passion for Native ministry, and I've been thinking and praying about this for a few years now, about how I can get involved in Native American ministry that's doing good work. And I'm about to graduate from Arizona State University. I majored in nonprofit leadership and management and American Indian Studies. I had to fulfill an internship requirement, and I knew exactly where I wanted that internship to be, and that was at Chief. I contacted Huron and shared my heart for Native ministry. He was quick to come alongside me and to help me develop further in my Christian leadership in the area of Native ministry. And so I just want to give you guys an update of what we have currently going on at Chief. We recently had our annual spring women's conference, the leadership conference. And here at this conference, it was hosted at the Chief grounds here in the Valley, in Phoenix, Arizona. We had over 55 women from all over the state and even as far as Colorado come here to join us for this annual women's conference. We had a special guest speaker, who you'll hear more about probably in another episode. But she was able to walk these women through how to study the Bible and how to practically apply it to meet the unique needs in their reservations, and how to use it to overcome the challenges that they're facing back on their reservations. So we're excited about this women's leadership conference that we just had this past weekend. And we see discipleship in that. And as Huron had mentioned, the three main components of Chief is evangelism, discipleship, and helps, meeting immediate needs. And so we see that discipleship taking place during this Women's Leadership Conference. And coming up this week, we have another event going on, and this is where we see evangelism and helps taking place. And through the support of the donors and other ministries that come alongside Chief, we are able to do these events. And so this Wednesday, we've partnered with Fire and Water International Church to utilize their building. And for sake of confidentiality, I won't say the name, but there is a secular treatment center for Native American families here in the Valley. And these Native families come from all over the state, several different reservations, and they're on a road to recovery. They have some real needs that they've reached out to the church for, and that's anywhere from diapers to back to school, kids' clothes, strollers, baby carriages, baby beds, and just immediate needs. And they're getting on their feet, and we really have a heart for those families here at Chief, and we want to come alongside them and invite them into the church. And we're going to have this event this Wednesday, and we're going to give a gospel message. We're going to share testimony. We're going to share scripture, and at the same time meet some practical needs that they have, and just minister to them in that way. And so we have that going on currently. There's many more we can talk about that goes on throughout the year. Huron's got a lot of stuff, you know, taking place, but that's what's happening currently, and that's what I've been able to be a part of since I've come on board with Chief. And with that, I'm feeling the weight of the ministry. I'm being introduced to the pressures of it, to the work that this ministry demands, as far as the prayer that's needed, the commitment that's needed, the devotion that's needed. And so I want to appeal to anyone that's watching to just pray for us here at Chief, to lift up Huron and Lois in their ministry endeavors, to just remember us in your prayers, to pray for the Native American church, to pray for leaders to be developed, and for us to be able to connect with these right people to disciple, evangelize, and meet immediate needs. We want to be effective, and we want to make an impact in Native America for Christ. So I would just say, remember us in our prayers, and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm going to invite Huron back on and let him take it away.
Great. Well, again, what a joy it is to serve with these men and many more. I mean, and you're going to hear the stories of different Native pastors and leaders that we come alongside and we serve and we help. I want you, as we close, I want you to take some time and pray for the Native community. When I say that, just in the United States alone, there are 576 different Native tribes. At the turn of the beginning of the 19th century, there were estimated less than 270,000 Native peoples. Today in the U.S., there are 9.7 million Native peoples. And they're all over. They're in the reservations. They're in the cities. And they need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. They need that encouragement, those that are professing to be followers of Christ. So take the time and pray for our Native American people. And again, pray for the Ministry of Chief. We just touched a little bit, but I know at the end of April, I'll be in Minnesota working with Native folks up there, the Ojibwe people. In May, I'll be working with Will Graham from the Billy Graham Association. And again, reaching out to the Native pastors and leaders up there. So God is doing something within our nation. Won't you pray for us? Let's close in prayer. And again, just thank you for the time that you've shared with Chief here. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings. We thank you for your faithfulness in all these years. You have been faithful to proclaim the word of God to our Native people. And there's just been myriads of stories of Native people that have been changed and transformed for your praise and glory. And Lord, I look forward to that time in Scripture where it says that every tribe, nation, and tongue will come together and we will worship you. We will praise you. We will honor you. And Lord, I look for that many of our Native people will be a part of that celebration. So Father, be with those that have listened to this. Father, I pray that you would touch their hearts and they would come, they would be like my dear friends here that have come alongside and continue to help in the ministry of Chief. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us in today's conversation. We trust you've been encouraged by what you've heard. The mission and purpose of Chief is to disciple and equip a strong Native American leadership for the development of the indigenous church throughout North, Central, and South America. If you'd like to learn more about the ministry of Chief and how you can be involved, please visit us online at chief.org. Thanks for your interest, and we'll look forward to you joining us again next time for another Conversation with Chief.